St. John chapter 6, verse 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. I know because you have lay readers, you may not have every Sunday the gospel reading for the day as your second lesson of morning prayer. I'm not sure what your custom is. But if you have been reading the Gospels for the previous three Sundays, you may have noticed, or you may have had a preacher who's pointed out to you, a somewhat initially odd fact that they all have to do with the devil. The first Sunday in Lent is the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, after which he is tempted of the devil. And then on the second Sunday in Lent, the gospel story is the healing by our Lord of the daughter of a woman of Canaan, as she's called, somewhat anachronistically. And that child is grievously vexed of a devil. And he heals the daughter. After some initial reluctance, he does what is asked. And then last week, our gospel lesson is a story in which our Lord again heals someone who is possessed by a devil. He's casting out the devil. And then that leads to a controversy in which people say, well, he's casting out devils because he himself is a devil. And we get the story about a house divided cannot stand, and so forth. So, rather odd, all of that interest in the devil, isn't it? What's going on there? What's all that about? Well, I don't think, in fact, it really is odd if we consider the context that those three Sundays are the first half of Lent. And one of the chief purposes of Lent is to be a season of spiritual renewal. And spiritual renewal almost always involves a negative component as well as a positive. There are certain things we need to oppose, mostly within ourselves, but also in our relationships and in the world around us. And it's only through this process of the spiritual rite is called purgation, putting away bad things, draining out the poison, if you will, that we then can create space within ourselves that can be filled with positive, so that we can be healed and make progress. And so it makes some sense, I think, given this fact that we're beginning a season concerned with spiritual renewal, that we begin by thinking about the exercising or casting out of damaging and negative things. The purpose, of course, of that is to make room within ourselves that then can be filled by God, filled with positive things. And in last week's lesson, our Lord reminds us that it's no good to cast out a devil if you leave a vacuum. In spiritual matters, as in physical, nature abhors a vacuum, and the vacuum will be filled. So if we don't fill the space we open up within ourselves with God, then as our Lord rather grimly says in that lesson, the devil that's been cast out will go and find seven companions worse than himself and bring them in, and the last state of that man shall be worse than the first. So we need to turn from this negative work of making room within ourselves, removing bad habits, bad attitudes, bad associations, and we need to not stop there, but then positively fill the space that has been opened up. Which brings us, I think, to today. One of the popular titles for the fourth Sunday in Lent is often called Rose Sunday, from the fact that rose vestments may be worn instead of violet. Also, Mothering Sunday. It's Mother's Day in England. But the other popular title is Refreshment Sunday, because we have as the theme of the day in this gospel the feeding of the 5,000 and the giving of something positive by Jesus to help fill his disciples. The chapter 6 of John, from which this lesson is taken, opens with his version of the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle story that occurs in all four of the Gospels. Now, John often shows that our Lord is replacing Jewish realities, Jewish feasts, Jewish observances with himself, or with Christian things. And so when we're told, which I took as my text, that the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh, if we know what John is often up to, we should think, well, now what John is going to be doing here is showing us the Passover being replaced. He'll do that later at the Last Supper also, but this is his indication of what replaces that central Jewish feast of the Passover. And what replaces it is the bread that Jesus multiplies, the food that he gives in the wilderness. And we have the miracle story itself with the feeding, but then the final long two-thirds of the chapter is a discussion about that miracle. What has just happened? And Jesus and the Jews talk about manna in the wilderness, and what Jesus said was, well, God fed you literally there, but I am the true manna. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the food that will really feed you. And he's so bold as to say, he who does not eat my flesh and drink my blood has no life in him. So he is replacing the Jewish observances with something positive, namely, for us, the Eucharist. The Eucharist is what replaces the Passover, and the Eucharist is what fills the spiritual space within us as we purge out the bad from ourselves. Now, this replacement will occur even more clearly at the Last Supper and at the crucifixion. The Gospels for the coming weeks will remind us that the Last Supper and crucifixion historically occurred during the Passover feast. In today's lesson, it's approaching, but there it actually is occurring. And why? My text is so appropriate. Passover feast of the Jews is nigh, because it is nigh. The Last Supper and the cross are coming close, and with them the Paschal bread and the Paschal lamb, and Jesus as the vine, the true vine, and the true wine from which we eat and drink. As the shadow recedes into insignificance, as the reality that casts the shadow comes clearly into view, so the types and shadows of the Old Testament now are beginning to pass away. The older shadow is the Passover. That which casts the shadow is Jesus and his Eucharist. So let's kind of combine these themes. Past weeks, we've been focused on the negative. You might say we've been focused on our baptismal promises to fight against the world, the devil, and the flesh. This fight usually is interior. It's something that goes on within us, although Satan is quite capable of approaching and attacking Christians in the church in external and physical ways as well. But normally, it's an interior battle within ourselves. We are, by our baptism, enrolled in one side of that battle. But we are not left by God without help. In Advent, we're told by Paul and the Collect to put on the armor of light. In our warfare, we are not left by God without armor. He gives us armor. And our strength may be feeble, we may be very weak and faltering. I know I certainly am. But God constantly offers us grace and help in our fight. The grace that he gives us is our reliance and strength, and it especially comes to us in the Eucharist. Comes in many ways, comes from many unexpected quarters. We can be reminded by a book, by kindness from a stranger, by forgiveness from another person that we haven't really deserved, by an unexpected solution or resolution of a problem that seemed insoluble. by a resolve and determination in myself that surprises me. On the worldly level, all of these things can just seem coincidences. But for Christians, we find the coincidences seem to come to us when we're praying and when we're using the means of grace, and even seem to elude us when we are neglecting prayer and the means of grace. God will open doors for you, but he only opens doors for us if we're asking him to do so. God sends his Holy Spirit upon us, but an open door doesn't do any good if we won't walk through it, and the Holy Spirit, who is in truth always with us, cannot do anything if we're inattentive to him. So today's miracle of feeding and the Eucharist that it foreshadows remind us of the great help, the greatest help that God is offering us. Grace upon grace is held out to us, and it is offered to us in very concrete and immediate ways. God is offering himself to you this very morning. All we need to do is hold out a hand or open a mouth to receive the bread that came down from heaven. In the face of the grace that is presented to us every day, the power that is against us is nothing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.